Blog Talk Radio.
I'm excited because of our guest who we have on our program today. I'm not going to tell you who it is right now. You'll find out in a minute. But welcome to Christian Talk with TNT, T. Meyer, and Tasila. Hi, Tasila. How are you today?
Hello. How are you? Haven't seen you for an hour or two.
Yeah, that's been a long time for us.
It is.
Yes, and we're. Are you excited today about our guest?
I'm very excited. Yes, I wanted to also remind everybody that next Wednesday we won't be on. We're going to allow the mothers to be able to cook and spend time with your families. If you get on next Wednesday, we won't be here, but the following Wednesday we will return with a special guest.
Yes.
We really appreciate all your support.
Praise the Lord. We really do. And also, speaking of support, you can take this time out to call some of your friends. You can text them, inbox them, or I don't know, send just somehow contact them and give them this number, 646-668-8537, and tell them to dial in. Or they can just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila wherever you see our post for this particular program. So you can listen from your computer. You can listen tonight or tomorrow or next week. And just on this particular, just click on our picture and you can listen. If you see the post on Facebook, LinkedIn, Alignable, Tumblr, or Twitter. Or if you happen to just see it on Instagram, just once again, dial that number, 646-668-8537. That number's just good to dial in for tonight. But if you see our post any other time, you just click on the picture and listen from your computer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm feeling good. We're ready to move forward, and we're going to get prepared to have the Spirit of the Lord move. I really move. But before we go any further, I can hear something happening. What's going on? That's it. Yep. That's it. You said it. You know what time it is. It's time for a TNT moment. That's a T. Meyer and Tasila moment. And, well, let's get going. Pastor Tasila, what do we have for today?
We have my favorite subject, is someone wants to know, why is a new outpouring necessary? And that is my favorite subject. Well, other
we
than
can
the
go
obvious
all night
reason,
with that.
Right, in about 20 different ways. But other than the obvious reason of gross darkness being present on the earth, which we do not want to get into sin calling, we are for now we'll just call it crimes and injustices against humanity is at all times high, and we all agree with that. You know, every city, at first it was like Chicago, I think, that started with the killings. And, you know, sporadically it was in other, you know, cities. And now it's like everywhere. It's people are killing each other. And it's just a really bad time. And we know that the outpouring, to me, is like the goose that laid the golden egg. In this case,
right.
You could call it the bride with the golden candlestick church with the sevenfold anointing.
Yeah.
It,
amen.
The outpouring... It is, then the outpouring is God's answer to humanity's tears. And a lot of people don't realize that something has to switch. And the light of God's full expression of love is the switch. The outpouring is God's full expression of love. And one may argue that we... You know, sometimes you get people and you're talking to them and you're telling them about we're getting ready to have a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they may argue that we received the Holy Spirit already when we first received Christ. And you most certainly did. And so did the apostles. And I did too. I received the Holy Spirit on the day of, you know, when I received the Lord. But the apostles did too. And on that day of Pentecost, they received it in Acts chapter 2. But nevertheless, in Acts chapter 4, a new anointing was asked for by them. And so just like they needed more of God's anointing according to their situation that they had, and now in our generation, we are desperate for more of God's anointing. But if you feel you had all you needed, why would you ask for more? And that's what the whole question is. I need more of God. I don't have all I need. I want more. Yeah. I know what Jesus did. He completed it all to go into different, from glory to glory, to different stages. But some of us, we don't have all that we need. And if you have hospitals by you and police stations and jails and all that by you and they're full, then you don't have what all you need. Because God wants us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons that are in jailhouses. And, you know, it's work that needs to be done. And if the work wasn't needed, then we wouldn't have these places filled. You know what I'm saying? And we wouldn't need to ask for more. But Paul, he was smart. He knew he needed more of the Holy Spirit. And what he received on the day of Pentecost was just a down payment. And it's almost like we have a down payment, but God can refresh and refill and renew and restore at any time. So he asked for more in Acts chapter 4. He said, Lord, thou art which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, whom by thy mouth thine servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, which, by the way, is the same situation the church is in presently. The rulers have stood up against the Lord and against, you know, his Christ. His Christ is Christ and those who have Christ within them. We carry Christ within us, but the rulers have stood up. And then he goes on to say, For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. The ungodly, as he is saying, were gathered together mm-hmm. against Christ and against them. For to do whatsoever they had thy counsel determined before to be done. And this is just a sidebar, because he's trying to say, well, I'm going to just say, they didn't just take Jesus' life. The Godhead council decided Jesus would die for us before he was even born. And then Paul yeah. goes, I just want to make that clear. And because in here mm-hmm. he said, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done, to say God determined it before it even happened that Jesus would die. But they were wicked and they fell into it. And then Paul goes mm-hmm. on to say, and now, Lord, because he's crying out to Lord, he's telling them, look what they did to Jesus. And now, Lord, in his prayer, behold their threatenings. They were being threatened. Paul was being threatened at that time. You listen to this prayer, you guys, because you might find yourself in the hands of the ungodly. And now, Lord, Paul says, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Jesus, the Holy Child. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost. See, we knew about Acts 2, when they were all in one accord, one mind, one spirit, and the Holy Spirit came as cloven tongues of fire. But this is in Acts chapter 4. And it says that when they were assembled together and they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. But wait a minute. Didn't they receive the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2? Pastor D?
Yes, indeed. They
and
sure
now
did.
Because they did. And now because it's a cause, which we all have a cause right now, it's a cause, they prayed and moved, and God's power was granted unto them. And is it not a cause right now that we, the body
Amen.
Of Christ, are in desperate need of the presence and acts of God? So in Acts 2:17 says, in the last days, how many of you realize that we are in the end times? The Lord says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. How many people do you know that can use an outpouring of God's spirit? I'm thirsty. I want more.
Me too.
I always want
yeah.
more. And Joel 2:28 says, and afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Why is a new outpouring necessary? It says it right here. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We see?
Yes.
We need to see true deliverance. You know, when we see all the homeless tents, we see a lot when we're just riding down the street. These people need
yeah.
deliverance. And God
yeah.
is saying, for in Mount Zion, the church, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call, it was going to be a deliverance inside of a people that can help bring deliverance. Deliverance is from the Lord Jesus. and he's going to put his spirit inside of people, and they are going to be bringing people in because the Lord is putting his hand out again to save the people, and he shall set up the people as an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah. Because of this new outpouring, you will see the greatest expression of God's mercy and love that you've ever seen. The one who represents him for the real will be the one, the ones that are truly filled with his love and Holy Spirit. In this day and time, Pastor T, we have so many with Christ. But Jesus said, by this, by what? All people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The way we love demonstrates who we are. Other than Jesus dying on the cross, the tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit he sent back for us will be the greatest expression of God's love to mankind. Right, Brother T?
That's absolutely correct. You know, and just to keep it going for a minute, because there's more. The question is asked, why is a new outpouring necessary? Because the new outpouring of Holy Spirit and fire is the outpouring that gives us more of God's Spirit. It is the outpouring that's going to change the world. Just look at the world today. Although we have church buildings on almost every corner, there's still a need for peace on the earth. Evil is overtaking the world. You have people who are filled with hatred, anger, violence, murder, and fear. Many people are uneasy, highly stressful, depressed, and mentally unstable. People are sickly and trying to get relief. And this includes many Christians. People are feeling trapped in a godless society with a government that is bent on having dominion, power, and control over them. A government that's slowly but surely trying to put us all in bondage to a system that promotes their agenda. And then our brothers and sisters, and then our Christian brothers and sisters are being heavily persecuted all over the world, with no nation coming to their rescue, not even America, the country that is built on Christian principles and values. They are not even acknowledging it. They simply turn their heads. So, yes, an outpouring of God's Spirit is totally and completely necessary. God knows that there is a need for more of his Spirit upon the earth, and we need him in fullness. That's why he said he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And you read that in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. You read all of that. And, you know, and one thing about that, Pastor Tecila, is that some of this in that scripture is happening right now, but by measure. A little here and a little there. But not all of this scripture has been fulfilled yet. That's why we know that his new outpouring of his Spirit is coming. God isn't finished yet, because the glory and the knowledge of the Lord is going to fill all the earth as the waters cover the sea. All of this hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming very soon. The question was asked once again, why is it necessary for a new outpouring of his Spirit? Because it is highly needed in this hour because of sin. And as it's written in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When God pours out his Spirit upon all flesh, that is his grace and mercy upon us. He could very easily destroy us all. He could destroy us all right now and just start all over again. But he would rather pour his Spirit out upon us. which means we will no longer have his spirit by measure. We need more of him and less of ourselves. And I think you brought that out pretty good. God bless the true ministries. Lord, bless the true ministries that are operating right now in this hour. The true churches that are doing their best with the portion, and I said portion, of the Holy Spirit that they have. I call them heroes, and I commend them all, but we must be truthful. But this is a time when Christians, we have to be truthful. It's not enough. We need more. And now God wants to give us more, more of the fullness of his spirit, just like he gave to Jesus. Jesus did not have the spirit by measure, just a little measured out here and there. He had all of God's spirit. John 3, verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the spirit by measure unto him. And now it is time in this hour that we all experience his spirit being poured out upon us in fullness. Way back in 1906, William Joseph Seymour of the Azusa Street Revival prophesied after the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their time and said, this is what he prophesied, and he said, in about 100 years from now, there will be another great outpouring. We are living in that time frame that he was prophesying about right now. Another outpouring is going to come, and just as the people back in 1906 knew, Pastor Tasila, they knew that the Lord was going to bring an outpouring in their time. They knew it just before it happened, that the Holy Spirit was telling them that he's coming. And just as he told them, he's telling us in this hour. He's telling me, he's telling Pastor Tasila, and he's telling some of you. Some of you know this to be true. He, the Holy Spirit, is coming back again in a very, very powerful way. His spirit will be poured out upon his remnant first, his small group of people, the sons of God, his faithful anointed ministers, and from them to all the world, till all the world becomes his sons and daughters. And right now, because of the evil in this world, the whole creation is waiting for these anointed ones to manifest themselves. The world wants relief. They want safety, security, peace, joy, healing, deliverance, protection, and provision. And the outpouring of God's Spirit is going to bring all of that to God's people, and he will bring forth a new earth also for all of his creation. In other words, the world is waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earth, for the earnest expectation of the creature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The manifestation, that means to be brought to light, to manifest, to be made clear, clearly seen, brought to light. They want to see them, the real sons of God in this hour. Because the true sons of God have power and authority. They are highly anointed with the seven spirits of God, which is his sevenfold anointing of power and fire. And God sends them throughout all the world, throughout all the earth, so that God's spirit can be poured out upon all flesh. God uses his people, his chosen ones, to bless the masses, the church, and the world. And God is doing this so that he will answer the prayer that Jesus taught us when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And Pastor T, I want to clarify something. I said that it was Paul praying, and I meant it was the apostles. The apostles were praying to the Lord when they were receiving threatenings. So I didn't want to mislead anybody on that one. I want to clarify that. if you have any questions,
yes,
send us an email at christiantalkr@gmail.com. We appreciate your feedback. We appreciate all your love you show us, and we thank all the people from all over the world, our friends and family. All of you guys are like family to us. If you need any prayer, just send us an email also, or reach Pastor T on Facebook if you need prayer. God bless you all. And I can't wait
Hallelujah.
For our special guest.
I know it, and we're going to introduce our special guest right after this, so do not repeat. Do not go away.
Chain will break, as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow.
with Pastor Tasila and Pastor T. Meyer McCain and our special guest, Dr. Daryl K. Jordan. Dr. Jordan is a native of New Orleans. Oh, wait a minute. Let me say that properly. He's a native of New Orleans, Louisiana, and he's a charismatic leader, a visionary, a prophet, motivational speaker, and a certified life coach. He answered his call to the ministry in the year of 2005 under the leadership of Bishop Thomas Weeks, where he began his studies of ministry. Later in 2005, he accepted the call of co-pastor in McDonough, Georgia. Is that correct? Well, I'll ask you if that's correct. McDonough, Georgia. He has traveled all around the country ministering the gospel of Jesus. He now serves as senior pastor at Jordan's Lifelines Ministries, an online ministry where we believe, this is what they're saying, we believe in God, prayer, teaching, and conversating about life's matters through the Word of God. Dr. Jordan is also a licensed chaplain and a father of three and a grandfather of four. Everybody, help us welcome Dr. Daryl K. Jordan. Hello, my brother.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good night. I'm fine. How are you guys doing tonight?
Very good.
We're doing
good to hear your voice,
fine.
Dr. Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it. I'm honored by it.
Oh, we are honored to have you on. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, sir.
No, you go ahead. I was just getting ready to ask, you know, what's on your heart? What's the Lord dealing with you about, telling you?
You know, as I listen to you and the wife began to minister this evening, it's amazing because it go hand in hand with the Lord has been saying to me, and I think you all did a great job at what I think is missing, showing what is missing, I think, in the mm-hmm. body of Christ in this season.
Amen.
And that's one.
Praise God.
I think you all gave a great example of how mm-hmm. and what needs to be done, and what mm-hmm. the Lord has been dealing with me on is his presence. And we have lost our identity as believers. Mm. So he has me ministering on identifying with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true.
We identified so much as the church, but we took him out. And I listened to you and a woman of God minister and how you guys were complimenting one another, working hand in hand and agreeing. And there was so much shown through the conversation how the church is supposed to operate, the groom and the mm-hmm. bride operating together. And it becomes effective, and the church has lost its identity. The body of Christ has lost its identity, trying to make things work, trying to win the approval mm. of people who we were never called mm. to win the approval of. One of those, and I love definitions, and identifying means to make, to be the same, to unite or combine in such a manner as to make one. The more you and the wife began to spend time together and talk and hang out together, and you become one, and then you begin to speak the same language.
Amen.
And I think that's one of the things the church, the body of Christ, rather, is lacking, is we're in an identity mm. crisis. We're having an identity crisis. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges right now. We have to go back. We have to find out who we are, whose we are, and what our job is. And most importantly, you know, it's in John 14 and 16, you know, he talks about sending us a helper, a comforter, a counselor, an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think also we, the body of Christ, has lost its identity as far as knowing the identity and what the Holy Spirit is, who he is. But
right.
It's not a it, it's
That's
a he.
True.
And you know, mm-hmm. he is the present help. And we're relying on so many different things, and there are so many churches that are struggling, not because it's God's will, but because they're trying to get loans where God said, I'm not going to give you a loan. I gave you the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
I gave you the counselor.
Amen.
I gave you the helper. You know, mm-hmm. I have given you godly wisdom. I gave you everything pertaining to life and godliness.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to get back to identifying with Christ. I think that's so important that we begin to identify with Christ. As Paul saying, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ who live in me. For the faith that I live by. Yes. Yes, woman of God.
That's the deep part right there.
That
Christ who lives within me.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
The forming, the formation has to take place.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that, is that Christ has to be formed within each and every one of us.
Yes.
And that, and it's a transformation has to take place within us. After we become a Christian, we grow from glory to glory to glory. And that has to be happening. You have to be being transformed all the time by and molded and shaped by the Holy Spirit. Not just I do, now I do what I please, or I do, now I'm going to minister the way I want or do what I want. We still are being led by the Spirit of the Lord. And we're still introducing Jesus, not us, introducing Christ. He's the head.
Exactly. And when we don't do it, Galatians 2:21 says, therefore, I do not treat God's gracious gift as something of minor importance and defeats his very purpose. For I do not set aside and invalidate and frustrate and nullify the grace, unmerited favor of God. If justification and righteousness, acquittal from guilt comes through observing the ritual of the law, then Christ, the Messiah, died groundlessly and to no purpose in vain. So when we take him out, when we stop identifying with him, we take him out.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was killing Christians when Jesus went to the cross. But then Paul come back and say, I don't know what you're talking about. Paul would say, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul puts himself on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He so identified with Jesus. He said, when Jesus did it, I did it.
Mm.
He said, when Jesus did it, I did it. In other words, Jesus said, I do nothing unless the Father instructs me. Jesus identified with the Father, and he's saying, I'm going to identify with the Father, and you identify with me. There's a saying that I say, if you're going to do what I do, then you're going to have to do what I do. Jesus said, if you're going to do what I do, you're going to have to do what I do. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't line up behind me, but take on his lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
He says, so I'm a mirror of Jesus. I'm a follow Jesus, and you follow me. And as we begin to follow this blueprint we have, everything began to line up, and our lives began to change, and we began to understand what our true calling is, and then some of the sickness and diseases and lack and poverty and killing and all, we you know, police would be sitting around trying to find something to do, because when we step up and identify with Christ as the body of Christ, we could shut a whole lot of stuff down.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right.
If we identify with Christ, we could take the money. We could take the money that they build in prisons with, and we can build schools.
Right.
You know, how long do they say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just? When is that money released?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's already released. I believe everything we need, he say, I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. And the believer still saying, we're going to. We're getting ready to. God is going to fix it. Mm-hmm. God is not going to do any of that. He already done all that. You say the kingdom of heaven suffered violent, and the violent take it by force.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we're going to do it is to identify with Christ. He lives on the inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
When I start separating him from me, there's a problem. I nudify the grace. I can't walk in the power. He said, I'm going to leave you with a comforter and a counselor and a helper and an advocate. I'm going to put him on the inside of you. He said, take dominion. So do it. You know, tie it up using all his vast resources.
Mm-hmm.
And the body of Christ, I believe we're lacking, because he said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. We lost our identity. The body of Christ has lost their identity.
Yeah, and they're waiting on the Lord, and the Lord's waiting on them.
Yes. See, I'm not coming down. It's illegal for him to operate in the earthly realm.
Mm-hmm.
It's illegal. Because he gave it to us. He said, you take dominion over it. I give you dominion over it. Can I show you something? So look at Genesis. Let's go to Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a just roll through it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And I go over to chapter 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And when I go down to verse 5, and I'm reading from the Amplified, I read one from King James. I'm going to read this from the Amplified in verse 5.
Okay.
When no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field, no herb of the field had sprung up, for the Lord had not yet caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, because he didn't put us here to work.
Mm-hmm.
But watch how he do it. He didn't put us here to work. He said, but there went up a mist, a fog, from the land, the water which the whole surface of the earth. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils, and breathe our spirit of life, and the man became a living being. When God blew the breath of life in man, he could not hold himself back. If you take a plastic bag and you blow into it, you cannot hold anything back that's in you.
Mm-hmm.
He had to blow all of him in him. in man. And so I'll go back up Genesis 2 and chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and rest on the seventh day. But all he said in Genesis 1 is all God did was spoke. But he knows his identity, and he knows all he has to do to create is to begin to speak. But when he finished speaking, he'd say he rests from his work. So he's calling work. He's calling speaking work.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He's calling it work. But then when I was reading in John 10 and 30, I think it is, where he began to talk to Peter. Let me see. Okay. It says this, John 10 and 30. I'm sorry. Say, I and the Father are one. So Jesus is identifying with the Father. All right? He's identifying with the Father. All right? So if you go to John 5 and 30, now listen at this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am able to do nothing from my Father independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God, as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge, I decide, as I am bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision, and my judgment is right, just righteousness, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and the pleasure of the Father whom sent me. Now, I'm going to go to, and I know I'm going pretty fast.
No, you there. Come on, cousin.
I'm going to go to Luke 5. Thank you, woman of God. I'm going to go to Luke 5. Because like you say, we waiting on God, and he said, no, I gave you everything. Look in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Look in the book. So I'm going to go to Luke 5 and 3. So, once again, God said, let there be, and there was. And he spoke 7 days. And at the end of the 7 days, it said he rested from talking. It said he rested from talking. He rested from his work. He called speaking work. We are oracles of God. We are ambassadors of God. We're supposed to be speaking some stuff into existence. So here's Peter and Luke 5. And getting into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon Peter, he requested him to draw away a little from the shore. Then he sat down and continued to teach the crowd of people from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a haul. Simon Peter answered, Master, we have toiled all night exhaustedly. That's what toiling means. We have toiled all night and caught nothing in our nets, but on the grounds of your word, I will lower my nets again. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And as the nets were at the point of breaking, they were able to call other fishermen in. They became a source.
Mm-hmm. They beckon to the partner.
God is, yes, because they, Peter said, when I was doing this my way, it was exhausting. It was hard. It was a job. Jesus said, well, I don't want you to do it that way. I want you to begin to speak into the things. I want you to do it as I do it. I want you to know your identity. I'm here to teach you how to labor, not even to labor, how to work. And with the body of Christ, I think, and not coming down on the church or anything, but I think we have gotten so deep into working and laboring, we think that's how it works for God, but we don't understand that that puts us under the law.
Exactly. Then you're doing it, not Christ.
Then
the blood that was shed. Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened to God? So they start getting excited because they blessed.
Mm-hmm.
They blessed, and they're excited about being blessed. And God say, listen, anybody could be blessed. You're blessed to have a job, but you better go every week. And every day you ain't going to have that job.
Mm-hmm.
But if you accept the promise, if you do it his way, you no longer blessed. You operating under the promises of God. That's what he was telling Peter. He said, listen, you are laboring. You are operating under the law. And you don't have a right to. You're nullifying the grace because you're mine. You're losing your identity. You belong to me. So you're going to work differently. He said, come on, get your identity back. Do things the way I do it. And when you do it my way, now you're under the promise. Because when you're under the law, you get exactly what you work for. And then we upset because we're never making enough money. But you're paid your wages based on your work. But with God, you get what you get because of his promises. And his promises are exceedingly abundantly above all that you may ask or think. And it comes with an inheritance. And I believe that's what's happening with the body of Christ. They have lost their identity. And God is saying, I want you to get your identity back.
And that came with trickeration. You know, if you come and serve and do this, then that makes you the best. Above all, the more tithes you
trickoration.
Pay,
I like
then
that
you're
word.
The highest. Mm-hmm. Yes, trickoration. And but I love this, what Jesus said, and this is one thing that I really like. When in John 17:21, he said, "They that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." And that is so interesting to me, because that I think we should be all striving and achieving for. Seeing how, like what you were saying, when Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. So if we're in partnership and oneness with them, then we're only doing what we're hearing Jesus is doing, what he's telling us to do. We're not making stuff up. We're not doing our own thing, you know, creating our own church types that we want. If Jesus is church, he's the head pastor, he's the leader, then he would be leading if that would be so. If we, you know, held this principle of oneness and in him, and if not, then allowing him to be formed within us till we get to that place.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
And I agree totally. And you know, if we just come together as one, you know, when the people of Babel who wasn't believers at all, and just doing whatever they wanted to, but because they got on one accord, God say anything is possible for them. And as you say, as the body mm-hmm. of Christ, the church, rather, however we want to put it, it's like a competition. Let's see who can do this and who can come up with the best revelation and, you know, who got the most members of this and that and other and things that really don't matter. And we've been caught up in, you know, making more loans than anybody, you know, when we're supposed mm-hmm. to be the lender and not the borrowers. You know, I kind of hate to say it, but it is what it is. It's just like when the virus came out, they offered the church all kind of money. How you going to offer the church money and you don't tell it, mm-hmm. you tell the church what they can and can't do?
Right.
That's the quickest way to lose your rights.
Exactly.
You know.
And that is
over
the
here and
truth.
Get this free money that you're going to pay me back in 5 years.
Yeah.
They call it free money.
And then they made the churches a hub also
mm-hmm.
so that they can operate from out of. They paid them,
mm-hmm.
and then they made them a hub, and they made them to be the incentive to get the vaccination when their incentive should be trust God. What happened to that? God is Jesus, is by his stripes you are healed, and he's your healer. It lost all validity. And that was an act of the enemy. What happened to that part that we're supposed to be having our eyes on the Lord, trusting in him and breathing from heaven? What happened to that healing part by his stripes? It's all lost because you were paid. It's almost like a Judas. You got a
wow.
little bag of silver.
Wow.
A little gold bag. And now you're being paid with, like you said, that PPP money, whatever it is, with that also. So you're owned. You don't get to speak your own mind or say how this is going to go. You know, it's a lot of little tricks. And then the trick of the vaccination, of the mingling, is what is the most dangerous. And I know that some of you guys out there took the vaccination. Just pray. Ask God to heal your bodies. But it's a whole storm and a reason why they're bringing this system together and they won't allow it to leave when we all know basically the virus is being placed in certain areas at certain times for a reason. Because they want to keep control. They want you to think the virus is still here so that you can continue to be under their control. And the mingling of your DNA, it's priceless. You cannot sell your soul. You know, we hear about Jacob selling his for a little morsel or some lentils or whatever. But this
Esau,
is really ridiculous. Esau, sorry, my husband's always correcting me on names. Right. But this is a true mingling of your DNA, and a lot of people don't realize what they're trying, the end point to this is to intermingle humans with animals. That's basically what all this is about. It's about more than that. It's about global reset and control, but it's also about Satan trying to steal the holy seed, that incorruptible seed that God has already placed in his people.
Wow.
Through the changing of the DNA.
Wow.
And so you say, so what is that? How does that happen? And then you think about Noah. What was it about Noah and his family? It wasn't because they were the only one that listened. They were the only last incorruptible holy people left. It wasn't just about that. It was something deeper why God saved Noah and his family. The eight. Only eight people? My goodness, that's a small amount. And so what has Satan always been after? He's always, when he was chasing Jesus, he was trying to kill him. He's always been after the holy seed to destroy it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's for whoever can hear that. I don't want to go. Pastor T is not.
Amen.
There's so much we can cover with that.
You know, I think there's a season. My personal opinion, I believe that we're in a season where we should be doing more discussing. And I'm not saying we shouldn't preach in this season, but I think it might be a little bit more, too much preaching and not enough really teaching and discussing. Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, you can't really teach me because I'm a doctor, you know. And so, you know, you're just a pastor, so, you know, you can't really teach me, but I could teach you. And the only problem with that is, you know,
I can't wait till the names are all done with. The titles, my God. When people realize the only name going to mean anything is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Lord of Lords.
That's the big name. That's all.
And I think if we was to discuss more as pastors and have more talks like this, we could come out of some things. We can get delivered, you know, identifying with Christ, knowing our identity, and like you say, woman of God, and just talking like we're talking, a person can get delivered.
That's
because
true.
You know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, a person can get delivered from that. And, you know, just being in agreement, you know, with the word, just letting the word do what it do. Lives will be changed. You know, I believe we're in that season. Go ahead, my God.
Yeah, well, no, you were right that we need to have more discussions like that because people can learn from hearing people talk. You know, and it's a blessing in that because when we talk about the Lord, then a book of remembrance is written for us even having a conversation about the Lord. But what prevents that is, like you said, you know, it's the pride thing. You know, I mean, you know, who are you to tell me? I've been a minister for so many years and all this kind of stuff. And the pride comes in and they can't sit down and humble themselves and talk and be allowed to be ministered to. You know, I'm always open to be ministered to, you know, because there's so many men of God and women of God out there that have such great information and knowledge that God wants them to share with us. And we have to be open to receive it, you know, and let them speak by the leading of the Spirit. So you're absolutely right with that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. I mean, it's I'm just in a season where I'm hungry for the word and I'm listening. And, you know, at some point you got to go back to school and sit down and let somebody teach you and, you know, and give you something that you've never heard and come from a different perspective and you know, and he say, you know, my people perish for the lack of knowledge because you didn't take the time to sit down and listen to somebody who was really smarter than you. It's okay, you know, that you wasn't the smartest one in the class. It's quite all right. Later on you find out that it's good not to be the smartest one in your class all the time.
Exactly.
You know. But I'm grateful to God for the opportunity, you know, and man and woman of God, you haven't seen the half of what God is doing with you and how you're in a season of, like you say, an outpouring of blessings, and mm-hmm. and I would even say, and I say this very carefully, not even in a place of blessing, but in a place of the promise.
Yes.
Because like I say, you could be blessed with a job, and you got to go to that job every day. But when you're in a place mm-hmm. of the promise, you just wake up in the morning and you just say, Lord, thank you. You know, I receive it.
Yes.
And you all are in a season where now things is happening. I see doors. It's like I'm looking at a house where the windows and doors is just flapping. You know, just flapping because the wind is going through that house and things are going in and nothing is coming out. You know, and these are the promises of God that are coming in, you know, and nothing is being lost. You know, nothing is being lost. I see a helicopter. The travel. There were some things that was put on the back burner. There are some things I was sharing with some folks tonight how the Lord said, I will give you the desires of your heart. And so I just started saying I wanted to put some gauges in my pickup truck. But at the same time, I said, you know, it's not the right timing for that. You know, I got other things that I could be doing, you know, versus putting gauges in my truck. And the Lord kept saying, I will give you the desires of your heart. And so in the midst of that, I started having problems with my truck where it would kill the battery. And so I took it to the shop, and I'm thinking it's a loose wire or something like that. And they say, no, it's the gauges on your dashboard. They need to be changed.
Mm.
So what looks like a burden is actually the answer to it. It's actually the promise being delivered.
Mm-hmm.
See, he had me saying I wanted to change the gauges, but in order for him to bring it to pass, we had to let the old gauges have a malfunction because I wouldn't have did it. And then if I would have did it, it would have been according to my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So when he say, I'll give you the desires of your heart, what he was saying is, I'm going to give you the desire for some gauges, and then I'm going to let your gauges in your truck act up so I could give you what I promised you.
Amen.
And I hear God say, don't misinterpret the promise with the blessing. Ishmael was a blessing. Isaac was the promise.
Mm-hmm.
I see a series of books, and I see a piece of property, and this property is like a resort, and this property is going to be handed to you by somebody that can afford any and everything. But they're just going to want you to have a piece of property. It's like you guys going to go somewhere or have went somewhere and talk with someone concerning a marriage issue, and the marriage has been turned around, and this person is just going to reward you, and that's going to be the start of like a retreat for couples, for married couples. And it's almost like I hear the marriage, the ministry of restoration for marriages.
Yeah.
Teaching couples how to flow with one another. How to flow with one another. Just be ready. Just be ready.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's something you're saying. Go ahead.
Go ahead, woman of God.
No, I was saying just yesterday we were ministering to some people about marriage. Oh, that's why that's interesting. And they're not married yet, but we were ministering to them regarding getting married and all that.
But so just because they're not married yet don't mean that your marriage ministry hadn't started yet. Your marriage ministry started when you guys first got together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. We do
Amen.
A lot of ministering. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm.
And it's the season men are going to pour into your bosom.
Your phone is a little muffled, doctor. Can you speak a little louder?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah,
a little better,
Yeah. This is the season men are going to pour into your bosom. This is the season where you guys, people are going to, this is your harvest season. This is where you're
Amen.
Going to receive the things you poured out in an abundance. I see property like you wouldn't believe. You know, I see property for a business venture. Like I say, I see a retreat. And this won't be no any kind of property that you're going to receive from this person. This is going to be quality property. Mm-hmm. And I hear guys say, I'm pulling the cover off. You say, I'm getting ready to introduce you to the world now.
Mm. Hallelujah.
I'm getting ready to, I'm introducing you to the world now. You just don't have enough time to do what the Lord called you to do and enjoy your life.
Mm.
It's like he's getting ready to take you all on a permanent vacation, and that's how you're going to do ministry. Because you gave up a lot. Peter and the disciples say, but Jesus, he gave up everything to follow you. You don't see nothing. And he said, hey, there's nobody that left their mother, their father, their brother, sister, business, houses, and nothing that won't receive that and then some. When Jesus was talking to Peter on the boat, Jesus said, listen, I'm offering you a job. You want it? As long as you were working for you, you was toiling. You was at the point of exhaustion. You come work for me, and I'll make you a source. Not a resource, but a source. You be the source pouring into resources. And it's released. But when I say it's released, it's released. Thank you, Lord. Everything. everything you asked for has been released. So you had a faith to go get it.
Mm. Amen.
You know, you talked about a measure of faith. And this is what I found with that measure of faith. That measure of faith is what we have in order to be saved, to get saved. And then you don't need any more faith ever again in your life. It's understanding that we need. That's why the enemy don't want us to, but that's why God is bringing us to a place of identifying with Christ. Because
mm-hmm.
when you identify with Christ, then you put the Holy Ghost to work like Jesus put the Holy Ghost to work. The Holy Ghost is here to serve us. That's his job. We need wisdom, he got to give it to us. We need a counselor, he got to counsel us. Whatever we need. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. That is something. Well, we hear what you're saying, and we're receiving it, and we're, of course, taking it to the Lord as always. And and man, it's very exciting. And we praise the Lord for you being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord to be bold enough to just open your mouth and speak. And we appreciate that.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true. Unexpectedly so. We thought we were going to talk about you, and you start talking about us. That's just like Jesus, huh? It's his birthday, but we all get gifts.
Yeah. You know, I'm just honored to have the opportunity to be chosen by God to do what I do. And that does it for me. And everything else is being added unto me. And I just want to say, man and woman of God, and I'm done. This your season, what God is going to just bless you overflow in the overflow. Because you walked away, you said no to a lot that you could have said yes to. And you know, one of the things I have been saying, we choose to be chosen.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys made some hard decisions. You made some decisions based on God.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, now I'm making some decisions based on my love for you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father.
And you're getting ready to drive the best. And it's not even that you guys are interested in all that kind of stuff. But God say, but I want you to have this. When you first had your kids, you know, you went to the store, you bought different stuff that they didn't know they were going to get, didn't need, didn't want, all that kind of stuff. But you got it. And God say, now I'm getting ready to bless you unmeasurably. For your faithfulness. Because you are selfless.
Amen.
God's always put himself last. And God says, so now I have put you first. Amen. Amen. Mm. I see a ring. woman of God. I see a ring. God say, I'm making it available.
R-I-N-G?
R-I-N-G.
We make each other stuff. He makes stuff for me. I make stuff for him. And that is interesting. I just create stuff and say, here, Lord, here's a necklace. I know he doesn't need it. There's no necklace on this earth that can be good enough for him. And I know he doesn't really need it, but it's just something that we do back and forth here. Just, and none of it really, it means just not the value of it, because it could be made out of light. It's just love. That's all.
Bishop Weeks told me something years ago. He said, hey, keep people around you that don't need you.
Yeah, that don't need you.
That don't need you. Because then it's about love.
That's true.
No, God don't need it, but how many of us really take time out? And see, that's what we miss. That's why we miss. We have lost our identity because you're not treating him like a God. You're treating him like a father. That's why we lost it. We made him a God. And when we made him, and I'm not going to say we, but they made him a God. And when they made him a God, they put him on a shelf and they start treating him like all the other guys and comparing him to all the other guys, the money guys and the this God and the that God. And he didn't want to be a God. He said, let me be Father. I want to be Lord over your life. I want full reign.
Amen. Amen.
That is so true.
Amen.
And then I want to add, like, in Malachi, I think, when the Lord said, you haven't brought me any sweet cane. And a lot of times, a lot of people look at everything as in monetarily, like money. Sometimes the Lord just wants you to spend time with him. He wants you to kiss and love on him. And the sweet cane is your incense of who you are to him. Like telling him how much you love him and lifting him up, tell him how much you appreciate him. That is something that the Lord wants more than anything, a relationship. Not one where you're asking for stuff all the time and he has to figure out how to answer you on why you're not getting this right now and maybe later or whatever. It's just a love relationship. Like he said, you lost your first love because right now I was telling someone today that the biggest hindrance in the kingdom is interference, how people are being misled because something has come up more important than the Lord. You can't pray because something else has came up that's bigger than praying, like going to eat or something or spending time with people or watching TV. It could be anything. But Satan is really using that to keep people really busy so they won't spend time with the Lord. But you got to make the Lord your priority, your first love. When you awaken, let the Holy Spirit order your steps and fall in love with the Lord and let him be the number one thing above all things, because nothing, I don't care if it's a job, I don't care what it is, it doesn't compare to him. And no pleasure you could get can compare to him. He's the greatest pleasure ever. His pleasures are forevermore So I don't care how high you get, the highest high is not in comparison to being in the presence of the Lord. And you can have money stacked as tall as you are, and it doesn't compare to being in the presence. And when you start being in the presence of the Lord and filling Him filling you up, you'll see there's nothing in this realm that compares to Him. So I just would like to urge a lot of people to continue to make the Lord their first love.
Yes. Yes.
God.
Hallelujah.
And
we're,
I really
enjoy you, believe.
God bless you.
Yes, and I was just getting ready to say that it's amazing how this time just goes by this quick. We're down to 4 minutes now left in the show, and I was going to ask Dr. Jordan if he wanted to say a prayer for our listeners and bless them.
Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for each and every one that has tapped into the line tonight, God, Lord, that you glory cloud rest down upon them. Your kavod, God, Lord. God, heal, deliver, set free. God, Lord, every need has been met in the name of Jesus. You say if we declare and decree, we shall receive. So, God, I declare and decree that it is finished, as your words say, that all our needs are met according to your riches and glory. I plead the blood of Jesus over the mindsets, over the bodies, over every situation and circumstances, over the home, the husbands, the wives, the children, and every family member and friends, in Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Doctor. We can't thank you enough. You're such a blessing, and your words of wisdom has been a blessing to a lot of people, our listeners from all over the world, all over the United States, and the Lord has given you a lot of wisdom. And you use your gifts for the glory of God, and that's what I love, and that's what thrills me. We want to also keep in mind for everybody that next week we want you to enjoy your families and people that may be coming in from out of town, and you're preparing for Thanksgiving, so we will not have a program for next week. And some of you who listen to UCA Radio on Mondays at 3 p.m., we will not have a program on Monday either, because this is the Thanksgiving week, and we want to take some time off and let you spend time with your family and have a blessed time, have a good time. And we pray that you guys have a good Thanksgiving, a good gathering of family and friends, and may God be glorified in your fellowship, coming together in love. And anything you have to say Pastor Tasila?
No, I just want to tell the people to make sure you give God all the glory and tell Him thank you for each and everything that He has done this year and what He is about to do for you next year. Set your pace.
Amen.
Speak it out like Pastor Jordan said. As a man thinketh, so is he. But when you speak things, you can speak things into existence. He just spoke over Pastor T and our lives. I'm going to take it to heart.
Amen.
Because he spoke it out.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is watching over his words to perform them. And God watches over
Amen.
Your words also. So speak those
yes.
things, as even if they're not, as though they are. And God bless you, and happy
Amen.
Thanksgiving.
Amen. We've got we have a few seconds. Any last minute things, Doctor?
I'm good, Pastor. Once again, I thank you all, and just God bless.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good to have you. God bless
Amen.
You also, and thank you for all your kind words.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you all for tuning in to this special program. I pray that everyone has been blessed. And remember, we won't see you next week, but we'll see you the week after. So everyone be blessed, and we will see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.